John 15. John 15 is where you're going to turn. If you want to grab the Pew Bible right in front of you, that's page 901 is where you'll find John 15. Yeah, this is part message, part my own personal testimony as I've thought back over what God's been teaching me in the last year, and I promise it'll be shorter than normal. This time last year, Becca and I did not know that she was pregnant, and now our son is almost 5 months old. He'll be 5 months old this week. So 2019 has not gone as we have expected, and I know it's been different for a lot of you as well. I'm so thankful for how God's taken care of our son. We have a healthy baby. I'm thankful that we've had 12 more months of fostering two other children, and I'm thankful for how foster care has taught me about how I think I should view parenting in general, because with foster care, you live with obvious uncertainty of not knowing how long you're going to be the parent for your kids. But that's the reality of parenting biological children as well, right? We aren't guaranteed a certain amount of time. As James reminded us that we went through, we don't know what tomorrow or even the rest of today will bring. But so much of my life right now revolves around being a dad. I'm at the stage of life where the kids are young, and I know it's not going to last forever. And a lot of days I'm thankful that it's not going to last forever, even though I know I'm going to miss it one day. But you know that you're a parent of young kids when you're asked what you want for Christmas, and the first thing you think of is that you just want a really long nap. Right? Like that would just be awesome. Like I'm at the stage of parenting, like when my kids misbehave, that I wish I could put myself in timeout, because timeout sounds awesome, doesn't it? Like you get to go to your own room by yourself. Like you get to be quiet. No one can come and bother you. Like, yeah, daddy needs a timeout right now. That'd be awesome. That's sort of the stage of life that I'm at. But do you ever get weighted down with the responsibilities, the obligations, the expectations that are placed on you or that you place on yourself? And you get overwhelmed, and maybe you find yourself thinking or saying out loud, I just can't take it anymore. I just can't handle it anymore. I can't do it. I think some of us find ourselves there a lot. And I would actually agree in those moments that our assessment is correct, that we can't do it. I think this year has taught me that our responsibilities and our obligations and our expectations don't primarily teach us that we are needed. They teach us that we are needy. We weren't meant to be self-sufficient and self-reliant. If we're going to accomplish anything worthwhile with our lives, we need other people, and most importantly, we need Jesus. And I can summarize my testimony, my message this morning from this year in just three words. We need Jesus. Simple one-point outline for you this morning. We need Jesus. And I'm thankful that God gives me more than I can handle. I'm thankful that He makes my insufficiency painfully obvious at times, because can you imagine the alternative? Can you imagine going through your entire life not realizing that you need Jesus? I don't want that for any of you. We should praise God for showing us that we need Him. We should praise God for showing us that we need Him. And the passage that's been on my mind a lot this year, but especially lately, is John 15, as I mentioned. I've spoken on this passage before, and I can promise you I'll speak on it again. Well, I'm about to make one of these verses one of my life verses, because we just learned so much about who Jesus is and who we are and what we should do with our lives. And we spent our Christmas series in the first chapter of John's Gospel. We spent time thinking about what it means that Jesus is the Word, the embodiment of God's communication with us. And you might remember that we saw the message of the Word. The message of Jesus, according to John's Gospel, is the message of I am. And there are seven clear I am statements that John records for us from the lips of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the last I am statement is here in John 15. I am the vine. I am the vine. Look at John 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And as we think about the truth that Jesus is the vine, we just need to realize that Jesus is what I could never be, what we could never be, in that He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anyone else to have life. Everyone else needs Him to have life. This is what it means. He is the source. He is life. This ties in with what John told us about Jesus at the very beginning of the book, that all things were created through Him. And now Jesus says that He's the vine. So every living thing owes its existence to Jesus. He's the source. He didn't just create us. He also sustains us. We owe our existence to Him, and we owe our continued existence to Him. He didn't just create us, He also sustains us. And then verses 2 and 3 of John 15 are important in talking about taking away branches and pruning others and the importance of bearing fruit, and it goes well with our study of James, but I'm going to have to let verses 2 and 3 go for now so we can focus on verses 4 and 5. Would you look at John 15, 4 and 5 with me? This is what Jesus says. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In these verses, not only reveal part of Jesus' identity, that He is the vine, that He's the source of life, Jesus also tells us about us. He gives me an identity. And like most of the times when the Bible describes us, the identity that Jesus gives us is not all that flattering, right? As you read through Scripture, sometimes we're just sheep, sometimes we're clay. Here, I'm just a branch. Okay, that's my identity in John 15. I'm just a branch. You know what a branch can do by itself? It can die. Right? That's all that it can do. Right? It can't do anything else. But all a branch can do by itself is die. It is useless on its own. And you might think to yourself, Tim, I'm not sure if that's what Jesus really is trying to imply by this passage. But if you read the context, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying that our value is totally dependent on what we are connected to, which is why Jesus gives the command that he does. His command is abide in me. Abide in Jesus. So this is the command based on his revelation about himself and ourselves. So why does he tell us that he is the vine and we are the branches? It's because we need to abide in him. And then just to emphasize his point, he says the word abide 8 more times in the rest of this passage. This is all about abiding. This is not optional. It's a command in LED lighting. Abide in Jesus. Why is it so important that we abide in him? You might be inclined to say, well, Jesus might just really like me, right? He just really wants to be with me. He just really enjoys spending time with me. And I believe that Jesus enjoys being with us. But let me read verse 5 again. I've been meditating on this verse over and over the last few weeks, and I want the truth of this verse to penetrate your heart this morning. John 15, 5. Jesus says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's the reason that Jesus gives the command to abide in him. And this is the line I've been preaching to myself lately. He says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." And I really, really want us to really, really believe this verse. I wonder how your 2019 would have been different if you believed that apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. I wonder how your 2020 will be different if every day you believe apart from Jesus, I can do nothing of lasting value. So God, there's nothing more important than being close to you today. In fact, I don't just want to be close. I need to be connected. I need to lean in. I need to be tapped into the source of life. I can't accomplish anything today, this week, this month, this year without you. And I think one reason that we struggle with this is similar to the struggle in human relationships. Because observationally, when you aren't talking to someone who's been a close friend, it's usually because you are either mad at them, or because you think they are mad at you, or because you have four kids, right? One of those three options, but mainly the first two. Either you are mad at them, or you think that they're mad at you. And I think it was Matt Chandler who put it so well. He says, when you believe that you have offended, you tend to avoid. And so many people think that God is frustrated with them, or disappointed in them, or maybe you are disappointed with Him. He's let you down this year in your mind. You're mad at Him. And I think one reason why so many people try to avoid God, they avoid church, they avoid Christian family members, because they think that they have to get themselves right because they've offended, they've disappointed, and they can't come back until everything's right. But the problem is, if you wait until you are clean to come to Jesus, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. That mentality is the opposite of the gospel. The gospel is, you can't clean yourself up. You can't be good enough. You can't make it to Jesus, so He made it to you. Right? He came near to us when we were far from Him. He lived the perfect life while we lived the sinful one. He died the death that we deserve to die so we could have the life that we don't deserve to have. He took the just punishment for all of our sin on the cross. He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. So if we place our faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus, no matter your guilt, your shame, your sin, your regrets, all of your sins are forgiven. You are brought into the family of God. You are brought into relationship with Jesus. You don't just get to be close with Him. You get to be connected to Him. Here's the good news, and here's the best news of all of that. The best news of the good news is that it has nothing to do with you and has everything to do with Jesus. It's totally dependent on Him. And then the command that Jesus gives us based on that is, stay there. Abide right there in a position of dependence. We don't come to Jesus and, like Chip was saying about the person he's witnessing to, it's not, okay, now I'm good and I can go off on my own and I can do this. No, Jesus, I am needy. I can't do anything without you. I need you today. And that's the other reason I think people don't abide in Jesus. Some think that they've offended Him, and others don't think they need Him. They think, I've got this. I can do this. And that's why we have to see that the focus of this text, John 15, isn't on being productive. The focus is on being connected. Because a branch can't be productive unless it's connected to the vine. A couple of years ago when I preached on this, I brought a branch. Maybe you remember that. I brought this nice dead branch, and I pointed out that if a branch wants to bear fruit, it doesn't work really hard at it, right? It doesn't go, right? I have to do this. That's not what a branch does. But that's what we do, right? We get our list, and we're going a million different places, and we think if we do all these different things, and if I can just get this done, and we exhaust ourselves, and we wonder why we're not connected to God, why we're not close to Him. But the focus of a branch is not as much on fruit bearing, it's on abiding. It's on where it's connected. And we often measure success based on titles and positions. Even in churches, this can happen. I'm a pastor, I'm an elder, I'm a deacon, I'm on the worship team, I'm a children's teacher. But Jesus doesn't care as much about your position in relation to other people. He cares about your position in relation to Him. Are you connected to Him? Are you connected to Jesus? Do we prioritize Him above everything else? Just observationally, we put everything else into our calendars these days, right? I think some of you are busy enough that you might need to schedule time with Jesus. Like, seriously, you need to put it into your calendar. Set reminders on your phone to pray or to pray for specific people. Set reminders on your phone to read God's Word. Tell people you have an 8 a.m. appointment, right? They'll think you're really important. You have an 8 a.m. meeting every day. Whatever you have to do, prioritize being connected to Him. My relationship with Becca has taught me so much about this. Becca and I need quality time together in order to be connected. And with four kids, sometimes we have to schedule that quality time together because it doesn't happen as naturally anymore. And when I know we've gotten disconnected, I shut other things down to make sure we are good because I need her. I need my relationship with my wife. I need us to be connected, and I'm willing to take as long as it takes to make sure that that's a reality. Maybe we need to do that with Jesus. But instead, with Jesus, we go, all right, Jesus, you have 10 minutes unless I get a text message or the kids cry. What do you got for me? All right? That's a lot of times our time with Jesus is like. And we put time limits on Him and say, this is, you know, you just have this much time unless I get distracted or unless something else happens. And some of you haven't been in God's Word. You haven't been praying. You haven't been listening. And you need to come to Jesus and say, I'm sorry I've been neglecting you. I'm here as long as it takes. As long as it takes, this has to be right. Some of you might be so distant, you need help. You need to find someone that can help you get connected to Him again. We want to do a better job as a church family of being in God's Word together this year. I know that reading the Bible is a struggle for many of us, and we want to do more as a church to help and encourage that. And so one resource we're going to start using, which you can sign up for, and there's information about it in your newsflash, is we're going to do a Bible reading plan through the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. Many of you probably have it on your phones already. We're going to do a group reading plan through that. We're going to go through the New Testament in about 60 days. We're going to start that a week from tomorrow, so you have time to get in, and we'll get that organized, and we're going to start a week from Monday. And if you want to be part of that, we'd love for you to sign up on that connection card at FBC, because we want to be in God's Word together. And then after these 60 days, we'll do it again. And so if you try and fail, you can try again, because we need this. There's so many Bible reading plans available online. There's daily breads in the foyer. Whatever you have to do, we have to abide with Jesus. Because here's one lesson from 2019 that's really stood out to me. What I need the most is also what people need the most from me. What I need the most is also what people need the most from me. Because, like, my kids need me, yes, but what they really need from me the most is Jesus. Right? My wife needs me, yes, but on my own I'm pretty insufficient. What she needs the most from me is Jesus. And so we can get into this mode where we feel like we're being pulled in all these different directions. And this person needs me to do this, and work needs me to do this. My friends expect this from me, and I have this appointment and this other obligation. But I have very little to offer the people I care about most if I can't offer them Jesus. Do we realize that? I need Him. I need to be connected to Him. And so why don't we wake up in the morning, and instead of saying, I need to do this, and I have this going on, and this is on my schedule, why don't we wake up in the morning and say, I need to be connected to Jesus today. I got to be connected to Him today. The value of everything else on my to-do list depends on this one thing. I have to abide in Him. Why? Because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Nothing of lasting value. We need to be connected to the one who people need. We need to be connected to the one that people need. We are needy. Jesus is needed. And I just want to praise God this morning that He wants us to be connected to Him. So that's my prayer for us as a church going into 2020. Let me pray for us as I close. Jesus, I'm so thankful that when we were disconnected, not just disconnected, we were far from You. You came near to us that first Christmas so that way we could be connected to You. So I pray that we would place ourselves continually in that position of dependence on You for everything. That we would recognize You as the source. And when we recognize that we've grown disconnected, we've grown distant, that we'd be willing to take as long as it takes to make sure our relationship with You is right. Because apart from You, we can do nothing. And we need to be connected to You, who's the one that other people need. And so God, may we abide in You today, this week, this coming year. May You bring other events in our lives that help us to realize our need for You and You alone. Help us to believe that You really are enough for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.